Hi guys, we are going to do a podcast on Isaiah 9 and looking at the government of God, the government of the promised Son. So Isaiah 9 says, "Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her, and by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen great light, and those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. And you have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor. And as in the day of Midian, for every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle, the garments rolled in blood, will be used for burning and fuel for fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. And from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So, as I was studying today, and you know, it's hard sometimes when you're trying to, when you're reading through textbooks and things, because there's a lot of mixed seed, right? It's so mixed, and you're just reading somebody's interpretation, and a lot of the time, and it was interesting today that I was reading a textbook from, you know, a unit that's being taught. And it's just interesting that they're just missing it. There's so much, you know. You've got to really trudge through. I mean, there's so much information, and God uses whoever he can, whenever he can, however he can, to the measure that he can use them at that point, because he's, you know, he's trying to access us and to get us information and to, you know, to awaken us. But there was There's three prophecies, they say, in Isaiah that have yet that they argue have not been fulfilled yet. And when I read them, I was like, no, that's already happened, that's happened, that's happened. So it's, you know, it's all about your experience, right? I mean, you can have all the knowledge, you can know everything all you like, but if you haven't got experience, then you really don't know. So you can study everything as much as you like, but you don't actually have experience, and you don't have a perspective, you can't see it through that lens. And me included, right? This is ongoing. I mean, ongoingly, the more you study, the more you look at the things that you've produced, and you think, maybe I should can all that, you know? But no, that's the journey, that's the growth, and people will come up along the way. So no one's perfect, and we're going from, you know, growing from glory to glory, it says in scripture, right? So read, I was up here, that's right. So, this isn't a typical podcast because I tried to write it out, but I couldn't, it's hard to explain a lot. But I did want to share some things to maybe help you. It's good to share some revelation, right? it opens doors for people, you know what I mean? What you learn, you share it, and it opens the door for people to come through, and they don't have to trudge through the stuff that you've trudged through. They can just come into where you're at and go from there. So it's we're all doors. Daughter. Well, I'm a daughter of the father. So yeah, they say. In our view, we pertain to the second coming of Christ and the events of the end of the age. The world, for example, still awaits the idyllic state of perfect harmony that Isaiah foresaw. Nations have not yet given up warfare, and lambs still wisely avoid lying beside wolves. I mean, I can't even understand how that's in there. They say that lambs still wisely avoid lying beside wolves. I mean, this is a new textbook. That's that concerning, isn't it? To think that that's what's being taught right now in colleges. That was published 2004. And this is what's being used. But, I mean, there's lambs with wolves everywhere in the church. That's completely fulfilled. And these people are theologians. So it's... everyone's messed up. We do not believe. Okay, and then they just don't believe that. And they still anticipate the great wedding supper of the Lamb, Revelation 21:1-11. So they're not feasting. They're not in. They don't know what we're talking about here. That's why it's difficult to study this stuff, because a lot of knowledge in there, and some of it's really useful, but you have to get through their spirit that wrote it, and it can kill you on the way, like, so you've got to be very careful. Anyway, 7 minutes of yada yada. So, looking at Isaiah 9. Nevertheless, the gloom will be upon her who is frozen, calamity, distressed. You have multiplied, this is where we're going to go, 9:3. You have multiplied the nation. Now, I was looking at this in the Hebrew. And it says that Kibiata. Have multiplied the nation, not increased the joy in they joy in your presence. So it's all broken words, right? So they try to translate it, and it's terrible. But what it's saying there, it says you have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Where it says in your presence, it says La panika, in your presence, it says that's what that they're saying that word is. La panika. When a Hanukkah is, you know, the celebration at Christmas, so it's what, the coming of the Christ. And this is saying, in your presence, la panika. But what it's actually saying is, it's very hard to put it into English, but it's saying the face, it's a panika, it's saying in your presence, in your face. It's saying you have multiplied the nations, but the multiplication there, it's like it has been before. How it was before. That's what it's talking about. It's saying, you have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. It's like the way you've done it before. And it's the way it was before. Habeta, even though there it says, in Habeta it says, It's to be or to become, or march or many or great, or it's like it's being. To be or become or many or great, but beta in Assyrian. Now they're saying here that the word beta is robo, right? A robo is Assyrian, and it's like to be great and grow. But the actual word says habeta, and habeta is beta, like house in Assyrian, and it's like your house to be full, kind of thing. Your house to be full. To be full, or to be taken over. I wouldn't say it's multiply, because multiply means, you know, to go and sort of procreate. And I mean, that is what it does as well, but it's more saying that your house, because it also says here the nation, and so we know nation means people, right? And so it's saying it's like your house, which is you, your body, is going to be, yeah, it says in your presence they're going to rejoice, and they're going to be full of joy. Their joy will be increased. It's talking about God, who's in us. Not like just in the presence of God, like he's around us and we're basking in the sun and the presence around us. It's like the very essence of who we are, how it was when we're born. We don't come into being unless God is in us. So God is in us. He's always been in us. And it's saying that you have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice around you. It better, like, so at the house, it's to have it as it was before. That's what it's saying. You will have it, have that person, that people, how it was before. And in your presence, it says, but it's in the pain, so it's in your face. So you will come through their face, it's saying. Again, the way you were, your face is actually saying literally that your face, our face will be the face of God, how it was before. And that, he's the joy, right? The only thing that ever will bring us any joy is God. That's what we want. We all want that feeling, that thing inside of us to be filled. And that everyone can describe it or understand it, but there's a yearning inside that we need that. We want that. Everybody wants to be full. And, you know, a lot of people find that in people. But the thing is, what he's saying is, you'll be full the way you always were, the way you have been already. And that will increase, that'll bring your joy into fullness. Like, it's like joy is, he is joy, and it's going to bring it all to fullness inside of you, and according to the joy of the harvest. So, and they don't even mention that in that, but it's saying inside of you, it's just the way it was before. It's the way it was before. And when you look, and when I was, it's like he, I'm explaining this, I hope I'm explaining this okay. I'm stuttering a bit here. That's weird, like, for one. That's so good. So we see Isaiah 9, and you read a lot of scholarship on it, you read a lot of, like, commentaries on it, and, I mean, you can... a lot of journal articles, I mean, if you're studying, and everything points to the coming of the Messiah. They all say that's talking about Jesus. It's saying it's prophesying of Jesus, who's going to be born, and he everyone's going to have the government on your shoulders and whatnot. And that's what everyone says, that's the promised son. But I would argue that we are that's talking about us and him at the same time. That's the whole point. Because we are all that. We were all that way in the garden before he says, I'm going to fill, they're going to be housed or full of the way of joy of me, the way that they were already, the way that they were already. And that made me start to think about how we were, and you know the Adam and Eve story in Genesis, and how before the fall, you know, we were naked, we didn't know we were naked, and you know, there was no shame, and because God told us not to eat from the tree of knowledge and only eat from the tree of life. And so I looked that up, and just having a look at that, just to be able to see that if God is the Ruach HaKodesh, the breath of life, which is the oxygen, right? If he's the breath, the air that we breathe, the very air that we breathe, the air that's inside of our bodies, he's that very essence, right? He is the air, he's the winds. I mean, he is the wind. He is in all things and through all things, which is like, you know, he is all things. And he's this oxygen inside of us. If he's the very breath of life, right, the Ruach HaKodesh, you can look that up for yourself, and it says that's the very breath of life. The Spirit of God is the Ruach, which is the breath, and that's oxygen, and that's inside of our bodies. That's what makes us up. And when you read in Genesis that it said God breathed into Adam's nostrils, and it put life into him. It's like he put himself inside of Adam, because he is the breath. So he didn't just breathe on him. He went into him. And then you see in Genesis 3 where it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said unto the woman, Yahweh Elohim says, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So he says to her, don't eat of every tree. And every there means from out of. The word every says from or out of. So don't eat out of all. It actually says all, any, and every. So don't eat any of the trees in this garden. Don't eat from them. And the word tree there is wood. Right, it's wood and it's firmness. And that's in the Hebrew, it's etz or eitz. And so God's saying to her, don't eat that tree from the garden. Now at this point, like, he's the breath inside of them. He's in them. So she's hearing a voice inside of her. That's how God speaks, right? She's hearing him speak inside of her. What the voice inside of her head's God talking to her. And he's saying, don't eat that tree, that's wood. Don't eat that wood. And she said, the serpent, who is the snake, she said to the snake, "We may eat of the fruit of the tree, or out of it, or just part of it from the garden. We can eat part of it." He said, "Don't eat any of it at all whatsoever." And she said to the serpent, "We could just eat part of it." And when you look up, you know, trees, and trees absorb carbon dioxide, right? We breathe out as a human. We breathe out we breathe in oxygen and expel carbon dioxide, right? And trees absorb that waste, that carbon dioxide. They eat it. They absorb it. That's how it's made, created. So eating carbon dioxide, it's like counterproductive to our breath, to our oxygen. We wouldn't go and eat carbon dioxide because it's poisonous to our blood. It's poisonous to our body. We don't eat that stuff. So it literally kills off oxygen. When you have carbon dioxide, it suffocates the oxygen inside of your body. When you've got too much carbon dioxide going through your body, so you're suffocating the living cells, which is the oxygen. And if God's the breath, then you're literally killing God. So you're killing the breath just by the chemical of what it is. Not because he's a mean God, not because he's saying, "You can't eat this, it's bad for you." He's saying, "No, it will kill me. You're going to kill me. Don't eat it, you'll kill me." So we literally kill God on the tree, by eating the tree. You know, the tree killed God. And we see, you know, the same thing happened with Jesus. He got killed on the tree, on the wood cross, right? It's the same thing. So, you know, we have a problem now because we've eaten this carbon dioxide. We have killed God ourselves by eating this carbon dioxide. He's the breath. And we've suffocated that oxygen by eating off this carbon dioxide. Now, carbon dioxide, it's a gas that's always present in your blood. It's a waste product, and it's generated as your body uses up oxygen, and it is expelled from the lungs when you exhale. At normal levels, its presence has no measurable adverse effects on you, but if your breathing is compromised or if you are exposed to large amounts of this gas, then you can experience a wide range of side effects, some of which include permanent injury and death. It's known as a substance that bonds with your blood in place of oxygen. So, a website, MedMag, notes that while most simple do not have any inherent toxicity of their own, cases of CO2 poisoning have been linked to central nervous system damage and permanent deterioration of respiratory functions. What I found very interesting is that it says cardiovascular effects, right? So if your blood becomes saturated with too much carbon dioxide, you develop the condition known as hypercapnia. Increased levels of carbon dioxide also affect the pH level of your blood, turning it more acidic. And this condition is called acidemia or academia. Good acidemia, or I don't even know, it could be pronounced academia. It looks like academia. And what's academia? It's knowledge, right? Academia is knowledge. Academia is learning how to be all these things. Academia is what you do at high school, it's what you do at college, it's why you go to university. It's what society is pretty much built on. I mean, if you don't have a degree, you know, one's getting a degree these days. They're just eating more and more of this tree. More and more of this carbon dioxide, this waste. And it's just killing God more and more inside of us. And we think that we need more of it to survive because we feel like we're dying. So we eat more of it. And we just continue to kill God who's inside of us, whose oxygen is already in us. So the solution is to just stop eating the carbon dioxide. Stop eating the knowledge. Stop eating, trying to work it out. I mean, she says the serpent deceit, like this. Well, it doesn't say it in the Hebrew. But she said to the serpent, we can eat from the fruit of the tree. And God had already said, don't do that because that's going to kill me. But the serpent tricked her and she ate it, right? So immediately it killed God. It suffocated God inside of her. And now she's just got this carbon dioxide. She can't really breathe. She can't breathe. She doesn't know what to do. She doesn't know how to get the oxygen back. She keeps eating more carbon dioxide to try to get that, get the oxygen back in her, but it's not working because carbon dioxide kills the oxygen. You need the oxygen, and you need just to stop taking carbon dioxide, and that's what the solution is. That's how the oxygen can breathe again. That's how it stops suffocating it. Remove the thing that's suffocating it, which is the carbon dioxide, which is, it comes from trees. It comes from, all our paper comes from trees. All our books are written from trees. Everything's from trees. It's just all knowledge. So she got tricked to want it to be, Well, it says in Genesis, but it doesn't say it in the Hebrew, but the serpent deceived me and I ate. And so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you've done this, you are cursed. And so he cursed the serpent. Now the serpent's cursed. He's the beast. And he is every time you eat from the beast, or like she listened to an animal instead of God that was inside of her head. She listened to somebody out there instead of the one that was inside of her head. And it killed God inside of her and made her reliant and dependent upon an animal that wasn't able to give her any oxygen, only gave her death. So it's all just pretty clear that we don't need it. So she where are we? Oh my gosh. I need a drink. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. And he said, if you eat it, you're going to die. And it's not saying, well, it's saying you'll die because you can't hear God and he's your life. He's the oxygen. Without that, you die. So if you kill God, you die. But if... See, people didn't die back then. We're not meant to die. We're not actually meant to die. When you got the Father, it says you were to be the way we were before. So that fullness of Him inside of us, it says, coming through your face and we'll rejoice. It's like the very voice, the very person inside. We're the face, we're God. God's in us. Where He's in our body, comes through our face. We're not learning to be like God. He just is our breath. It's when you try to work out God with knowledge that you kill him because you're eating carbon dioxide instead of oxygen. So you literally kill his life inside of you. Not because he's saying, well, because you've done that, that's it, now you're going to suffer. Because he's mean. No, you've suffocated him. He can't breathe. Because you've put the wrong atom in him. So you just, to solve that problem, we just stop doing it. That's all. It just stops, you stop doing it. And then we breathe more. fast all knowledge. Breathe more. And he will come through your face again, exactly how it's meant to be. And then the government will be, you'll be born, and the government will be on your shoulders, just like it says in scripture. Now, for most people, that would be far-fetched. But it's the truth. And it says, and there will be no end. That's what it says. It will be no end. Now, I know it's saying there of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. But there will be no end, which means you will not die. That's what it's saying. That's the other bit I was going to read. Let me open this up. Alright, he says, for unto us a child is born, we're begotten, right? A son, a builder of the family is born, which is you. And the government, misrule, is empire. The empire shall be upon, which is above, upon, again, over, above, which is above, his shoulder. So what's above your shoulder? Your head, your neck, right? So the government... The government, it says, will be upon. Right, they talk about authority, and you read everything, and it's saying the government, which is the authority of Jesus Christ, and Jesus has authority, and in Jesus' name I command this, and in Jesus' name I command that. But it's saying the government, which is the empire, is going to be upon or above your shoulder, which is your neck, the neck between the shoulders and the neck, and the place of burdens and the spur of a hill. And it says, and his name shall be, and shall be there, it's come to pass or become or exist. His name will exist right now. His name will exist. So when His name's going to exist, and it's going to, and his name is now called Wonderful. It says, called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But Wonderful there is miracle. Pele. Counselor is deliberate or resolve. So it's a miracle, a deliberate miracle to resolve the everlasting, which is the duration, or without substantially, so it's substance again, perpetuity, Holy Ghost, shakadaka. And Father, it says, yeah, everlasting Father, the Prince, which is the head, or of any rank or class of peace, right? Of peace, which is happy. So it's like there's a miracle. What's going to happen is this child's going to be born, which is you. You're born a son because of the fullness of what, because you have multiplied the nation, or you have been housed with God, with the oxygen, the way it was before. It says the way he did it before, the way it was done before. That's what it's saying. The way it was done before, exactly the way it was done before. Before she was deceived by the serpent. That's what's going to happen. The way it was done before, you will be full with him. And that makes you born a child. And you now have the government, which is the empire, upon you. And because of that, you will have a name. And that name is going to be called a miracle that is deliberate, a deliberate miracle that has endured or has a duration to be the head. Which is the duration of your head. Even like the miracle, it's like a miracle in your head. Right? That he's creating a miracle in your head because he's filling you with him. So there's no more head knowledge. There's no more eating from, no more feasting on carbon dioxide that kills him. The miracle is going to be that he's taken over your head. That's a miracle. That is a miracle. A miracle. A deliberate miracle, in fact, he says. It's a deliberate miracle. Wonderful Counselor is deliberate miracle. The mighty, everlasting Father. The Prince, the Head. A deliberate miracle in your head. That's what it's saying. Deliberate miracle in your head. The Prince of Peace. A deliberate miracle in your head. Making you happy. That's what it says. To make you happy. Which is the joy. Which is health, prosperity, peace, well, happiness, friendly, safe. All of that. So that's what Isaiah 9 is talking about. And you could go on. And then it goes on and it says, for you have broken the yoke of his burden. Alright, so when he does it, performs his miracle inside of your head, which means you fast all knowledge. You're fasting now. You're fasting all food that comes from trees. Because it's carbon dioxide and it kills his breath. It kills the breath of life, which is him. It suffocates the oxygen inside of your body, and he is the oxygen. So every time you try to study and learn, you're killing God. So stop killing God by stopping this carbon dioxide intake. And you will see how fast he performs a miracle, a creative miracle in your head. And from that miracle, you will be the new government. You'll be the new government on the earth. The new empire. So bye bye Roman rule. Hello Yarul. Not Yarul. Yarul. And you're it. Then he says, of the increase of this government, of his government and peace, there will be no end. There will be no end. There'll be no after. There'll be nothing. No entity. Against the throne of David. There'll be nothing, there'll be no entity over or covering the throne of David. And upon his kingdom, which is dominion, will be erected and established. So there, that's how it all works. So you don't need to go and get a university degree, because seriously, this textbook cost me $60. I have a good mind to send it back and tell them that that's completely incorrect. There are lambs sleeping, lying with wolves everywhere. Where are they? Where are these? How can they not see that? How are these people teaching in the university? It is very, very. I'm going to have to call a board meeting. This is terrible. This is absurd. So just stop eating carbon dioxide. Eat more oxygen and you'll be perfectly fine, and you'll live forever, you'll never die, and we'll just eat air. We won't need to and things that give us air. Praise the Lord. So this is what we call the manifested sons of God, right? They talk about it in Romans 8:19. All creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Once we're going to be full of the oxygen, full of the breath, completely full of oxygen. We have enough of them. Because what's happening to the planet? They're trying to kill the planet by all the carbon dioxide that's going into the planet, right? So we are producing more carbon dioxide than we should be. And so as we manifest, us the sons of God literally manifest with the government authority inside of us, as it's the Father himself in us, the way it was before, it's him through our faces, that we literally bring life to all of creation because of the oxygen. You know, we're the purest and the holiest air, the Ruach HaKodesh. It's fully him, just because we believe it. We've stopped feasting on the thing that suffocates him, right? So we stop feasting on the thing that suffocates him, so he now increases, he grows, right? I must decrease so he can increase, it says in scripture. That's all it's talking about in here. So we manifest, and this oxygen gives life to all of creation, to the birds, the trees, to everything, and everybody around us receive life, and they stop becoming so suffocated by the carbon dioxide, and preferably stop feasting off it. Even though it's forced down our throats everywhere you go, God always makes a way, right? I mean, he's the creator, and there's another way, which means we lose all control, we stop feasting on it, and we just trust him inside of us. We actually take fast from the knowledge. Stop doing it. Stop all those selfish ambitions of wanting to achieve and all that, and just rest in him. And let all of creation see the manifestation. Now, this is completely opposed in many, from what I've read anyway. I've read a little bit, I can't read too much because it really suffocates me, is when I try to read the theology books, and it's very difficult because you get tired straight away. You can feel the sea, you know, the demonic, the carbon dioxide on it. And it comes in at you, and it sucks your energy. So that's how you know. But when you read God's words, it gives you life, which is good. It gives me energy. energizes us. Since the word is energizing and alive, right? So not only did Isaiah prophesy of the coming of the Messiah, he prophesied of the coming of the sons of God, which is us. And so they missed it. They didn't see, they didn't realize it was Jesus. They knew that there was a Messiah going to come, and they knew, they had the book of Isaiah, they knew what was going to come, they knew there was one that would, they believed, you know, one was going to come and he was going to be salvation and he was going to be to the people. But they didn't expect him to come the way he came. They didn't expect him to come as the way he looked. They expected some real big, rich tyrant to come, you know, the way they were. What they perceived as high class, what they perceived as authoritative, what they perceived to be something that they would look at and think, well, this is kingly, this is worthy of giving life, you know, this is worthy of our praise. So the Jews back then were very prideful, and what they thought was wrong, and they missed the coming of Jesus, and they crucified him and they put him on the tree, and it was the tree that killed him, right? It was the wood that killed him. And the same thing is happening now. Exactly the same thing is happening now with Christianity, who are like the Jews, who are missing the very coming of the sons of God. They're missing the manifestation, because it's not coming in the way they expect it to come. And you hear many people profess with their mouths that they are sons and daughters of God. I mean, they've got songs everywhere for it. Everybody says it by faith. We're sons and daughters of God. We all belong to God. We're all children of God because the Bible says it, and we believe it by faith. We know we are because we've been told it for a million years, and it's just in us and we know it. But they've had no experience. They haven't organically been birthed by the breath of life themselves. And they don't truly believe that they are the government. They don't truly believe that they are a literal son of God, just as Jesus coming through their face. That's a bit too much. You know what I mean? They don't have faith for that. They don't have the faith for it. So that is the truth. And that's exactly who we are, the sons of Yahweh. Walking in governmental, the government, and they will, and we'll never die, and rule and reign with Christ through us. And they can argue that in academia till the cows come home, but they won't live to see it, because academia, as I read earlier from that Health Live Strong website, academia is carbon dioxide and it kills. So what they think they're doing is trying to seriously work out all this stuff. They're suffocating God who's inside of them already. And everywhere people go to try and find God, it's all going to carbon dioxide, to knowledge, and they're suffocating the God who's already inside of them. They just need to fast from the carbon dioxide, fast from the knowledge, so God can breathe again on them. And that's it. And that's how we save the world. Yay. All right. Bye.